Psalm chapter 18 and verse number 30 tonight. I think I'm going to use one verse to start with and may use 20 before I'm done. But at least if I get started, we'll be able to quit somewhere along the way. I surmise that somewhere in the volume of time, God continues to amaze me of how He works. Somewhere before day this morning, when the Lord finally gave me clearance about how to lay things down, I want you to understand something. If I ever do anything right, God deserves the honor for it. And if I do something wrong, I have to take all the blame for it. But I appreciate the fact that the Spirit of God can let you study within the depths of Scripture and lay elementary principles down to make sure everybody, even the children, can understand it. I am convinced that no man or woman or boy or girl can ever understand the Bible alone. The Bible says that natural man conceiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And when I think of that, I am moved by the thoughts that God amazes me on how He gets on our level. Not just one level, but our level. I'm concerned with four particular things that happen in the heart and the life of the psalmist David. If we were to go to the book of Samuel in the 22nd chapter, much of the volume of what we can read concerning some of his dilemmas we can find in that book. But in the 18th chapter of the Psalms and verse number 30, he makes very much of God. Because God is where it all starts anyway. If we find hope for our days, it's because God did it. If we find grace to get through the night, it's because God did it. If we find healing for our physical breakdowns, it's because God ordered it. And these are some things that we should never take for granted. I've been hanging on to this for a long time. This doesn't mean anything to you, but I've kept this message locked down in an envelope for several weeks. And I wrote down on there, not preached yet. And you can't preach a message until God gives you clearance to do it anyway. I've tried it without Him, and it don't work. You said, preacher, that's a shame. I know it. I was more ashamed than the thoughts of it. And I finally concluded that, you know, sometimes we feel like as preachers that we have to do something because everybody's expecting something. But that's not really the way it works. I have stood where I'm standing tonight on many occasions, and if God didn't give me liberty, I didn't do anything. We'll sing all night, but you can't preach in the energy of the flesh and do anybody good. You got to have the Spirit's power to get it done. There are four highlights in this particular chapter that I want to make mention of, and I think within just a couple of verses, he makes it all evident. Number one, David is able to look back on his life with thankfulness. Every one of us have a number of things that we ought to be grateful for. Well, two people believe that. Four or five heads were nodding. But if all of you believe it, say amen. Amen. And when David begins to express from his own heart how grateful he is, it resonates to the surface and it touches the people that are in the environment. The truth is, throughout the endless ages, we shall see the Word of God maneuver through the hearts and lives of people and touch them when they're in a particular place that God knows they need the principles that are within this particular chapter and maybe within the 30th verse. David not only looks back with thankfulness, David looks up with assurance. Everything that happens in our life, God knows about it. He's not surprised with where America is tonight. He's not surprised with where you and I are tonight. He's not overcome by where we're going. But I'm glad, glory to God, I'm glad He knows that He has full assurance in what God's doing. He not only looks back with thankfulness, and he looks up with assurance. Thank God he looks in with need. You won't ever get past needing God. Did you hear what I'm telling you? Great God Almighty, when we start thinking about going to glory, we're not going to where Moses and Aaron and all them others are merely. We're going to be with Jesus.
Amen.
Great God Almighty, that's good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm feeling this. He doesn't just look back with thankfulness, and he doesn't just look up with assurance, and he doesn't just look in with need. Praise God, he looks out with hope. God don't have to do, you know what? Put a stick of dynamite in my pocket to get my attention. He don't have to send me to the hospital to get my attention. Just being God gets my attention. I want to tell you, when I start thinking about the Lord and how he works out things and how he orchestrates time, I am overwhelmed by the thoughts that we have a faithful God. I want to tell you, sometimes you need to understand that God keeps on speaking through the volumes of his great love. Let's honor God's word as we stand. I'll not keep you long, at least by somebody's definition. If my watch is right, I know what time it is. But we'll be out of here in a little bit before you know it. Psalm 18 and verse 30. You found it? Say amen. Now, there's a lot of things tonight that we could underscore about ourselves. And it might make us feel bad. Because if we were to tally how many good things in our own mind that we thought we did, the list would be small. But if we just looked outside, I mean, she's getting close to dark now. The sun's gone in, and, well, she ain't in yet. But it's a going down. But even though the sun goes down, it's bringing on a cycle. It'll come back up again somewhere.
Amen.
Great God up in heaven. To think that the Lord of glory brings life in a cycle. So I'm getting excited. I haven't even read my text. Just to think about where the Lord is. I said we could say a lot of things about ourselves and we might not be too excited. But what he's fixing to say is all about God. Look at verse number 30, class. He said, as for God, his way is what? It's perfect. Now, I've done a little research because I would not do you justice not to study, knowing that you need something. That would be like inviting people to a meal and have no food. You can be seated. As for God, his ways. His way is perfect. That word in the Hebrew language is in envisioning that God is without any problems whatsoever, that God's course of life is without any blemish. It's complete. It's like them little children marching outside of Egypt and going through the desert sands, and God had a multiple number of people, multiple thousands of people, probably 1,650,000 people to look after. And God had already spread the table. He supplied every drink of water they needed. He supplied every mouth of food that they needed. And praise God, he took care of his own. David was not ashamed to identify the tremendous, feeling like preaching now. He was not bothered by the thoughts of glorifying who God is. God's a God of great resources. I want to tell you, as about me, there's not a whole lot to be said. But as about God, I'm glad God's got it all fixed up. As for God, his way is perfect. Well, I went far enough to find out just what kind of God he was. I pulled that Hebrew word out for God that said he's mighty God. He's a strong God. He's a strengthening God. Now I can understand David just a little bit clearer. He's a powerful God. He's a great God. I want to tell you, as for God, his way is perfect. Now, don't you understand that David's been in a very trying period in his life? He's been in one valley and over one hilltop, back down in the hole again. He's run through this problem and that problem. He's been through this season and that season. But what we can understand about the life of David is that he found out that no matter what season he was in, God never changes. I don't know what happens to a man when he gets like this, but I kind of like it. As for God in Psalm 18 and verse number 30, we can find out he is a tremendous line of resources.
Yes, he is.
He's just not one that looks religious. Praise God, he's altogether lovely. He's not just one that they described as sacred. Praise God, in his nature, he is sacred. They read about a tabernacle, and God said, I am the tabernacle.
Yes,
as for God, his way is perfect. David now begins to surmise where he's been. He said, I've been down this road and I found mighty. I've been down this road and I found strength. I've been down this road and I found to be strong. I've been down this road and I've got great God Almighty. I've got power. As for God, his way. David is describing the course of his life or the road of his life, but is also defining the mode of his actions. When your life and mine bottoms out and things go dry on us, and they will, and when things don't look like we had hoped they would, I'm glad we can still say, as David said, as for God, his way is perfect. Now, when he was describing the way of God being perfect, he was describing how complete it was. But that's not the only thing that he was describing. He was revealing how sincere God is. I want to tell you, I have run into some people that appeared on the surface to be sincere, but they didn't have one intent of following through with what they told me. I've been around people that would make you believe they were going to fight hell with a water pistol, and they never even brought the pistol, let alone the water. I've been around people, the Lord and I were talking after lunch, and there have been people come through here and about 50 other churches in this county, and man, they'll be here for the week, and bless God, they're gone. They're gone somewhere else. They're gone hunting something. Hey, why under God would you go somewhere else when you tapped into a supply that'll never go dry?
Amen.
As for God, his way is perfect. David is not only speaking about the course of his life and the mode concerning his actions, he is speaking about the customs of his journey. God loves you even if times are tough around you. God loves you even if things are bad in front of you. God loves you even if you hadn't heard from him in a while. I'm here to tell you, according to what David said, that no matter where he's been and no matter where he's going and no matter what he's facing, God is perfect. How complete God is. Thank the Lord for his completeness. How holy God is. He's without any blemish. How sincere God is. Let me give you another one. How sound God is. You know, we're in one of the most unstable environments ever known. That is so good. That is so good. I'd give you some, but I won't have none in a minute. I'm simply moved by what God is moved by. The thoughts that I can lay down everything that I've got. David is looking back with thankfulness, but thank God he's looking up with assurance. I want to tell you something. I've had people tell me they look back on their life and they've been bruised. Who hasn't? I guarantee you I could take you down the conversation pool and the halls of this church, person after person, and they could tell you things that would break your heart. But I'm glad we're not living there no more. I'm glad that's all past. I'm glad I won't have to relive that no more. By the way, You need to redirect your mind. When you start thinking about all that bad stuff, it'll depress you. You need to redirect your mind. Go to the Word of God. Go to something that matters. Go to something that'll hold you when the storms are wildly raging. Stand by me. When the storms are wildly raging, stand by me. I want to tell you, David, he now visions God as a God that he can look back to with thankfulness, as a God that he can look up to with assurance, but thank God, as a God that allows him to look in and know he still has a need. Am I getting to you yet? He said in verse number 30, as for God, his way is perfect. Now I want to tell you something. I've looked at this thing I've been on. I've looked at this journey. Let's take, for instance, men that have gone through regions of time like Father Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had y'all remember that as a child? Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so were you. Y'all remember that? Y'all old. But Abraham was so connected with God. He said he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker's God. Yes. Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Yes. Glory, hallelujah, yes. I Amen. Shall not be moved. That's right. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
Amen.
Man, I want to tell you something. People have went to bumping and thumping, but they better get back to some of this old music that we sing repeatedly and over again. You said, why do you do that? Because it's still alive in my soul. It still moves me in my soul. And I'm glad to God I can look up with assurance. I'm glad, thank God, I can look back with thankfulness. And I'm glad to tell you tonight I can look in with need and God will take care of me. He said, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. Do you understand every time God is enforcing that he loves us and he'll take care of us, the demons come attacking us. It's always been that way. Don't you remember in the life of Job and the confrontation that Job had? And poor old Job, I hear people say that, poor old Job, poor old Job. I want to tell you something. Job had a real God, and that's what makes Job a wonderful person. First thing that he declares is that the word of the Lord, according to my Bible, is tried. We're talking about the commandments of God. We're talking about the speech of God. We're talking about the one that was and is and shall ever be. We're talking about somebody that nobody else can conquer. We're talking about somebody that no one else can outdo. We're talking about some great, am I getting to you yet? We're talking about somebody that knows me and still loves me. He said, they've been tried. That word for tried in the Hebrew language is a term that is often used in the mining compartments where they fuse metals. Where metals are refined, and the goldsmith's term would be to say, put it to the fire. For when you put it to the fire, she gets hot. And when she gets hot, she becomes pliable. And when she gets pliable, you can put whatever shape you want on it. Don't think for 1 minute, honey, God don't know what he's doing. He knows exactly how to bring us to the shape that he wants us. I want to tell you, he said that the word of the Lord is tried. God has been put to the test with everything that he has printed. But I want to tell you, it stood victorious throughout the ages. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. And we watched what David said. He is a buckler. I took that word buckler because I'm so limited in my understanding. And I began to research and found out that God himself being a buckler is a type of a shield for our lives. I'm here to report in tonight that God's taking care of me and God's taking care of you. He is a buckler, not has been a buckler. He is a buckler, not going to be a buckler. Praise God, he is right now. And you mountaineers say rat now. Just like yer. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. If I get back there, I was trying my best to stay out of that first part of that chapter. I won't never get out of it if you take me all the way back there. He's getting ahead of me now. You hear him? Do you understand that when David begins to reveal how wonderful God has been, he's looking back. No problem being thankful when David looks behind him. Then he's looking up, praise God. He gets excited because God's been at work. He's looking in, knows that he has a need, and God's still good to him. He's a buckler. It's not only depicting that God is a shield, God is a protector. I found out some when the Hebrews try to describe that, they use a Western terminology in that definition, and it is descriptive of the hide of an alligator. You can slap an alligator's hide all you want. You ain't going to hurt him. Actually, call him a crocodile. That's the word rendered properly. But y'all knew what I was talking about. They tell me when an alligator runs into what he considers an enemy, that he will latch to his enemy, roll continuously, and seek to go to the deepest port within the water pool. You said, why is that? Because he knows everything else that's around has got to come up for breath. And he can hold it a long time. You know what? The devil's always used that tactic. He's always attacked at God's little children, telling them there ain't no way they can stand up for this. But you know what? He's right. We can't. But Jesus has.
Amen.
Not just can, he has. Do you understand what Calvary's all about? It's where victory was wrought for you and me. I know I've got to hurry. I told you we'd be out of here in just a minute. Notice he said, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. I about had two fits when I hit that word trust. It literally means to run to. Now let me give you something. David isn't just looking back, being thankful. He isn't just looking up, finding assurance. He isn't just looking in, seeing needs. He's looking out and getting hope. I like this. You know, the Holy Ghost would have to do this. There ain't nobody else could get no elementary term like that and get this much out of it. I'm thinking, y'all ever thought about something that you'd like to do and you want to do after service is over? I think I'll go home and cut me a piece of bread. And I think I got, we call them things dipped in chocolate, pretzel. That's got some dark looking, no they ain't neither, chocolate on them. You look like you've had enough chocolate. Hush, I'm doing the preacher. God, you see what I'm up against, don't you? If I'd have just stuck to preaching, I'd have had it. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Right. There's some things we look forward to because it encourages us. The truth is, I'm all about worship. I really had one of the finest teachers about worship that any church could have ever been blessed to have. And Brother James Lockie led me in to worship. I can tell you, beyond all the things that he did, the thing that he taught me most was about worship. I want to tell you something that I can tell you, and I can't remember 30 how many years he was at West Lenore. He didn't have a Sunday school campaign, bless God. He brought them to worship, and they just come, 300 and some at a time, just for Sunday school. When we went into that auditorium, they just come, because that old Indian just reared back and preached, and people felt like it meant something. They walked them aisles. I tell you, I heard it week after week after week after week.
Yes, sir. I've been there. Yes, sir.
See, now, I can kind of appreciate what men like David said. He can look back with thankfulness. He can look up with assurance. Praise God, he can look in with need, but praise God, he can look on with hope. What you looking at tonight? He said, I think you ought to be more theological. You can get above this right here, praise God. You can mark me out. This is about as good as it gets right here. I mean, this is it. When you get to where God is, he said that he is, his word's been tried. He's a buckler, and he's a buckler to them that trust him, to those that run to him, to those that confide in him, to those that have hope in him, to those that find refuge in him. Great God up in heaven, he is God. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? David shows us that the times that were movable in his life became immovable when God is present and when God holds his hand upon his servant. I conclude. When he comes to verse number 31, he is now revealing that the people that run to God find an acceptance and find a place to stand by him. He is a rock. The rock was known notoriously for two or three things. Number one, it became the place of refuge when the storms came. It became a place of refuge when the enemy was on the run. You said, why would he use such illustrations? Let me give you the other piece and then I'll tell you. He became the edge. You see, David run a lot. You said, but preacher, you told us as a boy he fought an uncircumcised Philistine named Goliath and he cut his head off, and he did. But you see, just because David was a victor in one situation didn't mean that he was a victor in every situation. These misnomers, these misconceptions, these misappropriations of truth where people over and over have said that, man, if you'll just serve God and you'll be faithful and you pray every day and you read a verse or two every day, it's going to be all just fine. That's rotten to the core. I've read my Bible. I've prayed. I've studied. I've tried to separate myself and I've struggled. But I'll tell you one thing I can conclude tonight. God's been faithful.
Amen.
You never fail me. I'll rehearse again what I started with. Praise God for David. He looked back with a heart of thankfulness. He looked up with a spirit of assurance. He looked in with a sense of need. And praise God, he looked on with hope. That's what I'm going to leave you with tonight. It don't make any difference what's going on. God knew that before we got here. You know, life's pretty much up and down anymore. Old dad, he's been going through some stuff that he ain't never been through in his life. I hear stuff coming out of his mouth I've never heard before in my life. You'd think that 70-some-year-old man would have it all together, wouldn't you? He's been a lot of places. Brother Bill, you're 81. Is anybody here older than 81 years old? You're how old? 83. All right, y'all so close. You ever had any bumps in your life?
Yes, sir, plenty of them.
Hard ones?
Yes, sir.
Any of it make you cry?
Yes, sir.
Any of it break you down?
Yes, sir.
Any of it cloud your vision?
Yes, sir.
83 years old, and the man tells me all the things that David's already told me. Can I tell you something? David looked back with thankfulness.
Amen.
David looked up with assurance. David looked in with need, and praise God, David looked on. Hallelujah to God with some hope.
Yes, sir.
Let's pray. Our Father, thank you. We appreciate your goodness, your grace, your love, and your mercy. We understand it's them little things that you do that make life so rich for us. And I pray that as these people leave this place tonight, they leave encouraged because you've done something good for us. Help us, Lord, in this day when everything seems to be somewhat confusing, when times seem to be tough. Help us to keep trusting you because we know one of these days you're going to get us out of here. You're going to bring all this to a close one of these days. All these things that are hurting and aching and crying is going to be over. Not going to have to deal with it anymore. And then, Lord, one of these days, the last voice box, as we know it, God's mouthpiece, is going to finally be announced, and that's it. Lord, we listen for one more thing. We listen for the shout, and then we're going out. So I pray you just umbrella us with your love and embrace us with your kindness, and dear God, help us until we return back for worship in Christ's name. Amen. I appreciate you listening.